Fajero! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
And there was a hell of a lot of injuries this weekend, which could have potentially spoiled some managers' plans for the West Ham-Tottenham double game week. Chuck, where should we start? I mean, we got a ton to get through and not a ton of time.
Good Lord. I guess we should probably start off by listing everyone who could be missing their midweek fixtures.
Dude, I guess Mo Salah limped off, KDB, he was stretchered off. They're both listed as game-time decisions, 50% with Knox. I'm assuming neither of them are going to play, though. Do you see a way of either of them playing? I mean, I don't think they'll be risked, considering how valuable they are to Liverpool and Manchester
City,
respectively.
I don't see any way that either even makes the match day 18, because it's more important for the long-term prospects of those clubs for them to just be rested, especially considering Champions League's around the corner.
Yeah, and especially, God forbid, because Manchester City drew today and they lost the point. So Pep Guardiola is going to have his panties in a bunch headed into 2018. I guess we'll start there. With Salah and KDB not in, do you have either of them in your squad? And if you did, who would you be looking to bring in for them?
Well, luckily, I had neither in my squad, so I don't have to actually worry about making a retroactive transfer. But for Salah, you're definitely pivoting probably to Mane, because with him being out, Klopp can't actually afford to be doing the 50-50 rotation between Mane and Oxlade-Chamberlain that he's been doing all season.
Yeah, so I have Salah, and I'm debating upon the move I want to make. I have 2.2 in the bank. I had brought in Firmino for another forward who got hurt, who we'll discuss in a moment. So I'm kind of stuck at the moment. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, and I have Harry Kane, who we'll also get to in another minute. So I'm kind of in pivot land right now. I'm hoping in the next couple of hours before we get the festivities started to bring in 2018, that I'll have a moment of genius and figure out what to do. Moving right along in the injury reign, though, Romelu Lukaku, clash of the heads in the Southampton match, and he's going to be out for probably 2 to 3 weeks if it's a concussion. United cannot afford to lose him, especially with Zlatan Ibrahimovic also out. I guess before we get to the next guy who is hurt, pivoting from Lukaku, where would you be looking?
Number one, since now there's been another injury at his squad and he has to play, is Sergio Aguero.
Gabriel Jesus is supposed to be out for 1 to 2 months, according to Pep Guardiola, after picking up an injury in their draw today. And there's nothing funny about injuries, but there is some humor when the players you have picked to be your pivots entering the podcast all go out within the first 30 minutes leading up to producing and recording. A guy I like, at least for 1 week, is Jamie Vardy. Leicester have Huddersfield Town at home. Do you see any value in Vardy if you don't have Mahrez, or do you think that he's not really worth bringing in to kind of fill the production up top you'd be losing from Aguero or Lukaku?
I do like Vardy, and honestly, if you've had Lukaku up top right now, you're not trying to fill that much production anyway, because he's been unlucky and not getting any results. So even just bringing in Vardy would be an upgrade over that. And Vardy and Mahrez are the two Leicester players that I trust no matter who the opposition is.
Yeah, if you look, Jamie Vardy's got 2 goals over his last 3 matches. They got Huddersfield game week 22, followed by a trip to Chelsea, and then their home against Watford. So that's not a terrible run of matches to have. Is there anyone else in the land of the forwards that you've been looking at or that you would recommend to someone who's lost the spearhead of their strike force heading into game week 22?
Well, as long as he's fully healthy, as you know, I'm a big fan of revenge games, and We've got Wayne Rooney.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one. And I feel like it's becoming a recurrent theme of every time we talk about Manchester United, I let out a grunt or a sigh or some sort of painful noise. I do not like the prospects of this, especially at Goodison.
Yep, this could very easily be a Wayne Rooney hat trick against a very short Manchester United side.
Yeah, especially considering Ashley Young is now facing a retroactive ban for elbowing. I mean, it's one of those things, and not to go off too much of a tangent, but this is something that 4 or 5, even 2 or 3 years ago, wouldn't have been picked up. It was an elbow on an altercation inside the area on a corner kick. I mean, I think he deserved it because there was no need for him to do it, but I guess in his defense, players used to be able to and still get away with this stuff all the time. I think it's a little bit harsh, but again, that's coming from a Manchester United fan, so take that. Yeah. As you may.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's one of those things where if you do it, you just kind of hope you're not caught, because nowadays you're going to get banned for it.
Yeah, that's why I'm not taking too much of a firm stance, because upon seeing the replay, I mean, he did it right in front of the goal line camera, too. It was a perfect angle. You could clearly see what he was doing. So I guess my advice to Ashley Young would be next time maybe try and get behind the post when you go to elbow someone in the lower midsection on a corner kick. Another defender who will not be playing, Arsenal's Nacho Monreal. He picked up an ankle injury. And Kolasinac has a knock and has a 75% chance of featuring when Arsenal take on Chelsea on Wednesday. In terms of injury news, I think we covered the majority of the big ones. Is there anyone else that you saw came off or came across on social media might be missing out?
Well, you've got the Kyle Naughton stamp during Swansea's game.
Oh, so yes. How can I forget?
Yeah, he's been banned for 3 games and is even more of a reason to start your Spurs attackers during their double game week as if you actually needed one. Josh King and his hamstrings, which is becoming a huge recurring issue for him. This one doesn't have as much of an impact in OFPL, but it has a huge impact in draft leagues, because King is a good option to have, even though he hasn't replicated the year that he's had last year. Let's see, going on, Scott Dan is also out for Crystal Palace, meaning they have no defenders, and even though they put in a good shift against Manchester City, going away to Southampton, this could be just what the Saints need to actually jumpstart their season.
Yes, I guess this is probably a good natural point for us to discuss. If you've been relying on Josh King, and he's owned in 84% of draft leagues in Taga, would you be considering pivoting to Calvert Wilson if he's available in your league, 31% owned? Or would you consider Benik Afobe if he gets a start at 8%?
It's tough because, I really don't like either. I feel like Colin Wilson's value is much higher with Josh King in the lineup than it is without King in the lineup. Because with considering the speed that both of them have, teams can't properly defend and accommodate for both of them. Whereas Wilson and Afobe is just an aerial monster, and you can set up against him differently because he's not going to beat you with pace.
Yeah, so the reason why I would lean towards Afobe if he's in the starting lineup is I believe Brighton and Hove Albion are going to be without Lewis Dunk through yellow card accumulation for the match on Monday. So that's why I like Afobe's power up top. And if you look at Wilson, yeah, he has 4 goals in the season, but 3 of those came in the hat trick against Huddersfield Town, and then his other goal was against West Ham, which was a questionable handball call. So I wouldn't put too much looking, and you see, oh, he's got 4 goals and he's available in 31%. I would just be a little bit wary before pulling the trigger on him.
That's fair. Also, speaking of yellow card accumulation, you reminded me of someone else, Leroy Sané. He picked up his 5th yellow card today, just before the reset for the new year.
So, who this is gonna, I guess this will be like the best part of the podcast. With all the people who are out, all the people that are injured, suspended, and all that, who would you say your top guy to bring in this week is?
Bernardo Silva.
So Bernardo Silva coming in, and Manchester City have a solid matchup at home against Watford, which I think definitely puts him in there.
Considering what they did away at Watford, I'd 100% be taking any City attacker that I can have.
Yeah, so if you look at it, Bernardo Silva, 7.4, which is a very appealing price. Yeah, and then I guess Aguero, even though he's expensive at 11.6, I mean, they need people and they score goals no matter who else is in the lineup. I guess looking outside of City, is there anyone who might be on the fringes of relevance that you would look at, or do you think it's safer to stick with the guys that would be seeing time based upon players being out on the bigger clubs?
I'd hope that Adam Lallana would finally make a start this week.
I don't know. Let's see. I don't really know how I feel about him, though. Against Burnley? They're Liverpool's at Burnley.
The thing is Burnley doesn't perform well against the top six sides. And even with it being at Burnley, I still do believe that Liverpool has too much firepower for them to actually be able to stand tall.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do a lot worse than him. The guy I would be looking at would be Anthony Martial. If he can get a start for United, when he came on last match, the tide of the game completely changed when he came on for Mkhitaryan. And at 8 million too, I mean, it's not a king's ransom to pay for a guy who could easily pop up with a goal and an assist against Everton. I'm anticipating there will be goals in that one, especially with Wayne Rooney trying to prove that he's still relevant in the league. Moving into the first match we're going to speak about for Game Week 22, we have Brighton at home against Bournemouth. I like this game from a draft league perspective, specifically because of Ryan Fraser coming off his brace against Everton. Chuck, do you agree or disagree with me that he's someone worth scooping on the waiver wire? I like him because of his peripheral metric contributions. Yay or nay on that tip?
Yeah, I'd agree with that just due to the fact that Ryan Fraser completes a lot of dribbles. It has a bit of an eye for goal. And with the amount of injuries, your midfield is probably looking like Swiss cheese anyway. So why not give him a shot?
Yeah, and then looking from Brighton's perspective, I don't really see anyone I like too much in this matchup from draft league or FPL perspective. They haven't really been that great, and there's no reason why for me to think just because they drew against Newcastle that's going to be a resurgence for them. Let's see. I mean, their next match will be against West Brom when play resumes. Do you think anyone in Brighton's worth a pickup?
Yeah, so for me, with Brighton, in draft leagues, Matt Ryan has established himself as one of the top-tier keepers. So if he's available in your league, like, I would definitely be okay with taking a shot on him. And then defensively, while Lewis Dunk's going to be suspended, Duffy's still useful. And if Goldston comes in again, he could be a nice differential play.
Yeah, Goldston was excellent in his lone start this season. He put up 20.5 points in Taga. And as Chuck said, Matt Ryan is certainly a viable goalkeeper. I actually brought him in one of my 12-team leagues a couple weeks ago, and right now he is fifth in total points for goalkeepers. Moving right along to the next match, we're going to talk about Burnley versus Liverpool. Can the Claretts stop Liverpool's attack?
Nope.
You think the absence? You don't think they're going to slow up without Salah?
No, because Liverpool already has enough pace to just make anyone pay with whether they have Salah or not. Like, they have a couple of ways they can attack this, because they could either move Coutinho up as a direct replacement, or bring Oxlade-Chamberlain into the attacking three and leave Coutinho in the midfield. Like, this Liverpool team has real depth.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Burnley are going to be Burnley. There's not too much in detail we need to go into about them. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to defend well. And if they get any sort of a chance, it's going to come through Gudmundsson-Berg. I guess if you're looking at Liverpool, you know, and you own Salah, would you consider bringing in Coutinho for 1 week? Or do you think, you know, what are your thoughts on the whole Coutinho versus Salah argument?
So in official FPL, like, I wouldn't really worry about transferring Salah out right now, especially considering the fact that when you likely brought in Salah, it was at a much lower price than what you will be trying to get him back at.
Yeah, he's up to $10 million right now. And Coutinho is at 9.2. As a Salah owner, I personally will not be transferring him out. I guess if you're looking for a one-week guy to bring in, hoping he gets a start, and I know we discuss about this anytime the Liverpool guys are out, what are your thoughts on Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I like Oxlade-Chamberlain. As you know, I would like to get him from you in one of our leagues because I'm a Mane owner.
Yeah, I don't see the thing is I like having him because I know for a fact that at some point you're going to need to take him from me and you're going to have to overpay for him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it's likely true considering my team composition right now.
And that's in a 12-team league, by the way, for those who were wondering. I'm going to hold on to him for this week because I think he's going to start. And I guess you could do worse, a lot worse, with a punt in OFPL if you needed to bring someone in, maybe to save a little bank and catch a 1 week fire with Salah. We're considering him out. He hasn't officially been ruled out yet, but we're assuming he's not going to be rest. Anything else on Liverpool?
Not really. Like, I expect Liverpool to put multiple goals past Burnley, especially if they get one in early. But if this game gets to halftime without a goal going in, then that's when we should start worrying.
Yeah, and one of my New Year's resolutions as a Manchester United fan is to stop devoting so much fucking time talking about Liverpool on our podcast. Moving right along, the Leicester City Huddersfield Town. I like this game from an FPL perspective all around, in OFPL, in draft leagues, and I like Huddersfield's defense because I think that even if they concede, they're going to put up a ton of defensive actions. And I like Leicester City on the other hand because I think they're going to dominate possession. Although last time we picked Leicester for a big result, they did disappoint us.
Yeah, it's tough because Leicester is definitely starting to show signs of the new manager bump wearing off. I still think that Leicester attackers are a very useful commodity to invest in, especially the likes of Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez. But outside of them, I don't really see a ton of value in OFPL from this game. In draft leagues, you'll definitely be able to get something out of Wilfred Ndidi, Damari Gray, and the fullbacks.
Yeah, I've had Mahrez since I believe game week 13 in OFPL, and he's been phenomenal. He's gotten at least a goal or an assist in every game except one, leading up to game week 21. So I'm going to be staying with him. I thought about bringing in Vardy, but I'm going to stick with Firmino this week. I think Leicester are always an interesting team because you don't really know what you're going to get with them. I like them when they're favored because of Mahrez and Vardy, like Chuck said, that exact reason, those two guys alone. On the Huddersfield side of the ball, Losel is an option in draft leagues. Would you think about him in OFPL, however?
No, because in OFPL, you really do want a clean sheet. And, like, he's not going to get a penalty save because if Jamie Vardy gets a penalty, he's putting it home.
I mean, he has made at least 4 saves in his last 3 matches.
Yeah, it's just the fact that, well, for me this week, I'm targeting double game week goalkeepers in OFPL as opposed to anyone that's playing just one game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and we're going to get to that. We kind of save the double game week chat for when we talk about both the teams involved. But I would agree on that. I have Adrian, so I'm going to be rolling with him, and I know you're rolling with Hugo this week. The next game we're going to talk about, Everton-Manchester United. I do not like this matchup at all. I don't want to play against Wayne Rooney. We don't have Lukaku. Chris Smalling's not going to play. I'm freaking out. Please tell me Manchester United are going to win. I know the last 2 weeks you put the voodoo on me.
I mean, honestly, I'm taking the Wayne Rooney revenge game route. I honestly don't think either team's going to win. Like, I could see this being like a 2-2 draw just because I do believe that United will score, especially if Anthony Martial starts. But I also don't think there's any chance that United can stop Everton from also scoring at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real wide open game, mainly because Rooney is going to be all fired up. And United, on the other hand, I don't know what the fuck's going on with them. I mean, you get Pogba back, and I know there's a lot of guys out, but it's just been unacceptable lately.
Yeah, it's still just so tough to deal with United as a whole, because certain players are performing well individually, but as a collective unit, the team has been utter shit.
Yeah, I mean, you have Lingard, you got Mata, now you got Pogba back, and then, I mean, Mkhitaryan's out there. I mean, I think my New Year's resolution, my other one's going to be, is to buy that guy some lessons on how to cross the ball. I mean, he literally was, it was like U12 routines. Okay, this is where you don't want to cross the ball every time you cut onto your right foot.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm curious about is, are the ridiculous Mourinho rotations ruining team chemistry? Because the team definitely looks like a collective team of individuals rather than a unit.
I mean, I think it definitely has something to do with that. The other problem, and I mean the biggest issue, is that, you know, Lukaku hasn't been scoring. And I know it's only been 2 games or 3 games where he hasn't scored, but they drew all 3 of those games when he doesn't score. Without a constant goal-scoring threat and without a winger who has that killer instinct, which is the kind of player that needs to be bought by that squad, you know, they're turning into a little bit of a paper tiger, as much as I hate to say it. I mean, they've been overtaken by Chelsea. And another thing is Mourinho needs to get it through his head that Mario, you know, Fellaini cannot be a guy, cannot be a key player in the squad. I mean, that's a little bit on of a tangent because he's been out, but he values him too much. I mean, they really need to go out and buy players that should actually be in top 4 sides. I'm getting flustered, so I'm going to try and bring him back down to earth. Outside of Rooney, do you like anyone on Everton from FPL's perspective?
It's tough because I want to like Gylfi, but he just hasn't had enough returns. Like, he's obviously a great start in Taga because he's still doing enough to put up double digits every game, but he doesn't have those goals and assists to his name to actually be useful. And I'm already in the process of ridding myself of Everton defenders by transferring out Jonjo Kenny this week.
Yeah, I had been big on Kenny. I might end up holding him depending upon the transfers that I make. And just on Sigurdsson, I think just for 8 million, that's just too much to pay for him in OFPL. The other guy I was going to say, you know, if you need a place to, if you need to fill a forward who's cheap, is Calvert-Lewin. just because when Rooney's been scoring lately, Calvert-Lewin's been factoring in with an assist. Moving on to the next match, Southampton-Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace are coming in off a great result against Manchester City, holding them to a match they should have won, considering Milja Hojovic missed the penalty. Southampton, Crystal Palace, any thoughts here? Is this a match you're looking at to exploit in FPL?
Well, Crystal Palace has no defenders and currently pivoted back to Wayne Hennessy in goal. So if there's a game for Southampton to score in, it's this one. The issue is I still just don't trust them enough for OFPL purposes because they don't have a forward.
Yeah, I mean, their brightest attacking threat lately has been Sofiane Boufal, who you never know what you're going to get from him. And I just think at his price at $5.7 million, that's just too much to be a guy who you need to get a return from on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, he and James Ward-Prowse would be the two guys that I'm looking at in draft leagues, but I'm not touching them in OFPL.
Yeah, and then again, Ward-Prowse with the set-piece upside, he was unlucky to not score in the first half against De Gea. And then factor in that, you know, Forrester will probably come back in after being rested for McCarthy. And they're still without Cedric and Bertrand and having lost Van Dijk to Liverpool, which has kind of gotten swept under the fact that there's been so many injuries.
Yep.
But we'll save that for another podcast. Moving right along, Stoke City, Newcastle. I like Peter Crouch in this game.
That's probably about the only Stoke City player you can actually look at in this one.
Yeah, I've been waiting the entire podcast to say that. That's why I said it so with so much excitement. He's so good in the air, and he's got rested, and he scores when he's in the air in exploitable matchups. I love him as a streaming guy in Taga this week, and if you need a cheap forward at $4.9 million, I like Crouch in OFPL as well. But that's pretty much it. From the guys I would look at, I mean, I guess maybe Shaqiri.
I mean, I'm really not touching anyone from Stoke until they get even the slightest bit healthy. Like, they will get a nice boost because Kurt Zouma's eligible to play in this game, mm-hmm. but they're still missing too much on that back line.
Yeah, Shawcross, Martin's Indy, Johnson's still long-term out. Eric Peters most likely will sit out again. Does anyone on Newcastle give you any sort of, you know, an itch?
Wingers.
Considering wingers.
Matt Ritchie and Atsu.
You know, I tipped Atsu last week. He ended up really not doing much. I do like Ritchie, though, just because of the amount of balls he puts in the box and the amount of assists he's grabbed relatively compared to the goals they've scored. But I don't think there's no one really else who really has caught my eye from this matchup.
Yeah, there's not a ton in this game.
A match that should have a ton in it, Manchester City versus Watford. Now, I know we discussed them a lot during the beginning when we talked about the injuries, but just to recap, Kevin De Bruyne's going to be out. Jesus is a long-term absent. David Silva, we're not sure. And we're not sure about Fabian Delph either. Just to bring you back up to speed if you're tuning in late. So, Chuck, as you said earlier, Bernardo Silva, anyone else you're looking at?
Basically, all of the like-for-like replacements in the City side. So, you're going to have probably a front three of Bernardo Silva, Sergio Aguero, and Raheem Sterling. All perfectly good starts in any format against Watford, because the Watford defense, as we know, is not good.
Porous at best.
If David Silva still misses out, you're also probably going to get another shout in by Gundogan. The interesting thing is going to be, due to the amount of midfielders that they're missing, does Yaya Toure get a start?
Yeah, he is. I hate the idea of having to rely on Toure just because even though he'll be good for one or two appearances, considering he's really been doing nothing this year, I don't know. I mean, would you trust him? I certainly wouldn't trust him in OFPL.
No, I wouldn't.
But if you're in a 12-team league, would you consider starting him for Taga?
Most definitely. Like, considering how my lineups are looking in some of these 12-team leagues right now with players such as Jack Wilshere, Adam Lallana, all making appearances in my side, I have the room where I will definitely be looking to catch lightning in a bottle, and you can do a lot worse than Yaya Toure.
Yeah, I was going to agree with that. And, you know, it's the part of the festive period where, you know, the amount of matches catches up the players. And, you know, you kind of need to be really smart with how you make your moves on the waiver wire. Because you never know when squad rotation guys who we kind of projected to have low ownership at this point in the season are owned across tons of leagues. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain's one of the highest owned midfielders at 90%, even though he's not a lock in the starting 11. In terms of Watford, is there anyone you like across any of the fantasy formats?
Keep beating the drum that I come on the show and beat every week that I will be expecting things out of Richarlison, but that's it.
Yeah, and one of the guys I touch upon in my column, which will be coming out tomorrow, is Andre Carrillo. If you're looking for a long-term add-in stash in 12-team Taga leagues, give him a look, just because he's gotten a good run of minutes under him lately and seems to be growing into his own. But outside of that, I'm staying away from the Hornets this week in fantasy.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about Arsenal-Chelsea before we break down Spurs and West Ham, who are going to be in the double game week. This should be the most entertaining game of the week coming on Wednesday. Arsenal, what do you think about them? They're a little bit banged up.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I think about Arsenal depends on how Mesut Ozil and Kolasinac respond to treatment.
Yeah, Ozil has a 75% chance of playing with a knee injury. And as for Kolasinac, he is picked up a knock this weekend. I think with Ozil in the lineup, it's closer. I'm still going to give the edge to Chelsea. Arsenal are missing Ramsey, obviously. He's going to be out for a bit longer, and Monreal as well. So in terms of fantasy, though, I do think, even though he's expensive, obviously Sanchez is worth a look, because when they've been scoring, it's been coming through him lately.
Sanchez has put himself in the shop window, basically screaming for Pep to buy him.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. If you were looking to get one more match out of him in an Arsenal jersey in fantasy, this could probably be the last one. Moving on to Chelsea, I think there's a lot of interesting value to offer on Antonio Conte's side. Starting, I guess, with Willian, who's been in form. Do you like him? You think he's going to get another start?
This game will probably see Eden Hazard return to the lineup because he was rested. It'll be interesting to see who makes way out of Willian and Pedro, who have both been performing pretty well in their very limited action.
I feel like it'll probably be Willian making way, but I mean, if you look at it across his, you know, this is the second time he's had a goal and two assists, or at least two FPL assists in his last four starts. And he's been crazy effective, and he looks like he's fighting for his place, and he's telling Conte, you got to play me. I can't sit on the bench this long. Right. But I do think he'll make way for Hazard. Yeah.
Like, because while Willian is definitely useful, I can't justify spending that much on him to actually have him potentially be rotated and come on for that good old 1-point cameo that screws up your entire week.
Yeah, because he's at 6.7 million. So I guess that puts Pedro in play at 7.7. Would you consider bringing him in, given all the injuries, if you needed someone in, you know, the 7.5 to 8 million price range?
Not really, just because I still have the concern about him actually like not playing this game.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Drinkwater came in, Drinkwater scored. So some of the guys on Chelsea are going to be fresh. I think from an entertainment standpoint, this should be the best match by far. And if I had to go with one, you know, one somewhat of a constant, it would probably be Morata will most likely play it more than 80 minutes, seeing as he came off early in the 5-0 win over Stoke City in game week 21. Anything else on Chelsea?
Not really, because, like, if you have a Chelsea defender in your OFPL side, you're probably starting them just because they're kind of too expensive to bench. But I wouldn't bring one in just for this game.
Yeah, I mean, looking, obviously, Alonso's been absolutely lights out. Across his last 5 matches, he's averaging 9.5 points, which is ridiculous. And then you throw in, looking down the line at their fixtures, they got 5 or 6 good matches on the run after this. So I'm considering bringing in a Chelsea defender next week, but not this week. Yeah. Just because Arsenal has been involved in shootouts in their last couple of clashes with top sides. Next, we're going to talk about the double game weeks. We have Spurs traveling to Swansea and West Ham being visited by West Brom on Tuesday before the two clash in a London derby on Thursday. So we'll let that digest for a second. Where we think the best value is across both these clubs, Chuck? Anything in particular?
So in OFPL, I think it lies in defenders and Harry Kane.
From West Ham side, I currently own Arthur Masuaku, and I also own Aaron Cresswell and Adrian. So you can see I have somewhat of an investment in the Hammers defense. And that's more so just because they're playing at home to West Brom in the first game, because that's where they're going to do the majority of their scoring.
Exactly. While with Spurs, both of their fixtures are very good for their defense, even though Spurs games against West Ham get a little interesting, as shown by the 3-2 cup fixture earlier in the season.
Yeah, especially if you get Andy Carroll out there in the mix. He loves to throw his weight around when he plays against Spurs.
Yeah, the big thing for me in looking at this double game week is that you don't want to try to overvalue the double game week slate for certain players, because they're probably going to get rotated in one of the games.
Yeah, to expand off that, that's why when I kind of looked down the line, it was okay, you know, most likely who's going to see the most minutes. So I guess you would have, from a West Ham perspective, most likely Winston Reid, considering he sat out game week 20. So you would think he would be fresh to play in both. And then I also like Cresswell just because of his offensive upside and handling some of the set piece priorities. And then, you know, just to briefly chime in on Harry Kane, he's just too good to not have on your side for a double game week.
Yep, because especially considering that the vast majority of OFPL will be triple captaining Harry Kane this week.
Yeah, and you don't want to miss out on that in case he goes off, because that'll just put you in a massive disadvantage in facing red arrows. I guess if you're looking at this, who would be a guy across both clubs you think maybe hasn't gotten enough press or enough talk about that would have a, you know, be a good shout to bring in for the double game week?
Well, the guy that I brought in on my free transfer this week is Ben Davies. And it's a tough one with him, because it wouldn't be a surprise if he is rotated for Danny Rose in one of these games, but it also wouldn't be that much of a surprise if Danny Rose is to depart Tottenham this week.
Yeah, and another thing too, interesting, you have Davies and you have potentially Lloriente if he gets time facing their old club in Swansea City. So while all the eyes will be on the Wayne Rooney grudge match, you have somewhat of a little bit of a former family feud going on there as well.
Yeah, the Spurs-Swansea setup is such an interesting one, but unfortunately Swansea's former Spur, can't play in this one because he decides that he likes to stomp on players.
That is very true. So, before we ramble too much and take up too much of your time, just wanted to wish all our listeners a Happy New Year. All right, so that just about does it for covering the double game week. It's New Year's Eve, so before we say goodbye on our final podcast of 2018, Chuck, any New Year's resolutions you're going to be making? Anything you want to tell our listeners about?
Yep, mine is going to be doing a better job of actually waking up in time for the 7 a.m. slate because I have gotten burnt too many times this season with my lineups. And of course, I say this as I'm getting ready to take part in New Year's festivities after editing this episode.
Yeah, on my end, I'm going to try and stop. I'm going to try and cut down on the amount of... I think they're funny. I'm not sure if the majority of the Twitter world thinks my references to Matthew Flamini are as hilarious as I think they are. So with that said, Happy New Year's. We'll see you in 2018. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
And this has been FPL 360.